Well, hey, good morning, everybody. It's Donna Partow, but this is not your ordinary run-of-the-mill zany Donna Partow. No, this is the Donna who, like, you're going to love this story, okay? And it's just testament to things are not always what they seem. I was leaving church right after the opening worship session and, you know, got up and leaving and It's a mega church, so nobody knows anybody. So, but the ladies, you know, at the door welcoming the stragglers coming in to the service, looked at me like bowed their head. Well, we better pray for this lost soul. I mean, she didn't last long, did she? Right? What they don't know is I was still there from the first service. I hadn't left yet because God started just, I guess the word is download. That's the word we all like to use now. Whatever you want to call it. I mean, God was dealing with me. And I started taking notes from the minute I got to church and filled an entire notebook. I was still writing when the next service came in, got started, and we're like three songs into the worship set. I was still there from the first service. So it looked like, see, things are not always what it seems. It looked like I was leaving in protest. I'm not getting anything out of this. I got to get out of here, you know? And it was exactly the opposite. I just from the time I woke up yesterday, I was just on fire for the Lord. I was like in my kitchen making my shake, listening to a message from Ronnie Floyd. And you can get it free. I hope I said his name right. He's the head of the Baptist or something. And he did the opening message at One Thing. You can watch it free. I'll post it. But I mean, wow. I mean, just so powerful, so convicting, so encouraging. And he was talking about the Haystack Revival and saying how he got to go there. And I'm like, been there. I went. Yay. Revivals. I'm like, come on, God, bring your fire. Bring your fire. Bring your revival, you know, all the great things you've done in days past, you can do them again. And just so fired up for God and wanting to be part of a mighty move of God. And so I'm just scribbling all the things that the Lord is showing me. And it was just funny. It's just funny. So you just never know. We think we know, but we don't know because things aren't always what they seem. Amen? Amen. Well, I want to welcome you to, it's day 7 and 8 because we don't do live calls on the weekends. So I'm going to kind of cover yesterday, what was in yesterday for your day of reflection. Now, if you prefer to make Saturday your day of reflection, that's fine. But I think whatever day you honor as the Sabbath, make it a day of reflection. And so that's what, you know, day 7 was all about. And I do hope that on the weekends, even though we're not here live, that you are still working through your workbook and keeping that consistency of marinating in this material every day, right? Not just weekdays, but every day to keep that momentum going. So God, I just thank you so much for the beauty of your presence. And we say, let your glory fall. Let your glory fall. This is a practical class, but guess what? We can't put any of this into practice without your presence. Because self-control comes from the Holy Spirit. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's a fruit of that grows from abiding in the vine. That's how fruit grows. Abiding in you, abiding in your presence. You know, all the lists and plans, and how many of you have already figured out? You can make as many charts and checklists and plans and grand intentions that you want, but without the fruit of self-control, this is probably not going to happen. And self-control doesn't come from lists and charts. Donna. Wow. You have no idea. No, self-control comes from time in his presence. And the peaceable fruit of righteousness, right living, right thinking, self-control, patience, everything that you need to carry out that written plan. Written plans are wonderful. That's why we're doing this, right? But the power comes from his presence. Amen. So, Holy Spirit, would you come and would you anoint this message today? Would you do that? Would you speak to your people today? Would you meet with them here? Would you meet with us here? Across the miles, across the iPads and iPhones and laptops, would you meet with us? Would you even at this very moment touch your people and fill them with your glory? Set your people aflame with a passion to live for you and to live for your kingdom. God, would you awaken your people on this Monday? Would you awaken your people? Would you turn on the lights in their life and give them a vision that's so compelling that their eyes open in the morning and they leap out of bed, fall to their knees and say, God, there is no way I can do what you've called me to do today without your power and your presence. And if your presence isn't going with me, I'm not going. But if your presence is going, come on, I'm ready to scale a mountain. I'm ready to put 10,000 to flight. You and me, God, let's do this thing together. I'm ready. I'm in it to win it. I want my life to matter for your kingdom. So God, I just feel your presence so strongly. And I pray that everyone listening to my voice just feels your nearness, God. Amen, amen, amen. Oh, he's so good. How good is our God? I mean, it's kind of ridiculous when you think about it. I mean, he's just maximum goodness. What can you do with such an amazing God but love him and serve him? Remember to ask yourself every day, why is this just perfect? I mean, this is just perfect. Whatever's happening, well, it's just perfect. Because God's perfecting my character. God loves me so much. He's arranged all these wonderful circumstances to show me exactly what I still need to work on. Because what's the goal? To be conformed into the image of his dear son. So unless we're just like Jesus, God's still going to be perfecting our character because he loves us. That's how much he loves us. And then number two, whatever your new question is. And y'all are doing a great job. And I would love, even today, even right now, type into the chat so I can share them. You know, what are your new questions? Because y'all are doing a great job with that. Here's a great question. What then will you do for your own great name? Come on. I was thinking, this would be a great new question. Wake up every day and say, okay, God, today in my life, in and through me, what then will you do for your own great name? What will you do for your own great name today through me? Wow. Wow. Come on, somebody's running with that question. And I even made it look pretty, so take a screenshot of that one. Kind of liking this question. One of the ladies, I didn't get her permission, so I won't use her name, but this is genius. You people are so infinitely clever because God is a creator and you're made in his image. She took, you know, some of you real high tech, she took the bulletins from her church that had really spoken to her and just pasted them onto a, I don't know if it's cork board, whatever, she's got it on there. I mean, this is genius. I love this. And it's putting to her remembrance those messages and those themes and what the pastor had preached and what God was doing in the congregation. This is like pretty epic. I love this. Also, a wonderful testimony from Elizabeth Penny. What is absolutely blowing me away, besides the teaching, the prophetic prayer, and the learning, is that I'm meeting others with the same visions, the same situations, decisions, and needs. Yeah, you've found your tribe. You're here to spur one another on. You notice this is not Donna Empowerment University, right? It's not about me. This is not like the Donna Show. This is about us coming together as the people of God and spurring one another on and empowering one another to step into our destinies, right? She says, I love how the Lord brings others to walk beside us no matter what we're facing. More evidence that he is at work. Hallelujah. Wonderful testimony. We love your testimonies. Give me your testimonies. Bring them here and we'll share them and they'll go on in perpetuity as long as this class endures, which I think is a great one. And I think I'm going to roll it out every year, every year, every year. Reminder, step one was to clarify your vision. Without a vision, the people perish. Without a vision, you die a little each day. Number two was your plan based on your predetermined priorities. But, you know, from grand vision to practical plan. Then create a measuring system to track your progress. Number four was to establish accountability. Number five is monitoring your milestones. And we're diving into that right now. Day seven, Sunday, why weekly reflection matters. And again, I'm giving you so many tools. And if you would just even latch onto one of them, if all you did was take time on Sunday for weekly reflection, that would change your life. And if you were to partner that up, the weekly reflection, with your whiteboard or whatever your planning tool is, just put those two pieces together, bam, this would be your best year ever. This would be your best year ever if all you did were these two things. Take time on Sunday to reflect. How am I doing? Am I on target? Am I on task? What do I need to change? What do I need to adjust? What do I need to do more of? What do I need to do less of? Okay, well, let me write it down on my whiteboard or whatever you're using. And remind yourself again, where am I going this year? What were those New Year's resolutions again? What were they? Oh, okay, great. You know, where am I going this year? Okay, so where am I going this month? Okay, so where am I going this week? Okay, great. What do I need to do tomorrow? Brand new week, no mistakes in it yet. What's the plan? That's why reflection is so important. You can course correct before you're a million miles off course at the end of the year saying, oh, I don't think I'm going to set resolutions. Know your milestones. You've got to know what the milestones are. And I make the point that change never happens overnight, but it does happen every day. Every day, we're either moving closer to or further from the change we want to see in our lives. Now, this is like a little poem. I don't know who wrote it, but who am I? I am your constant companion. I am your greatest helper or heaviest burden. I will push you onward or drag you down to failure. I am completely at your command. Half of the things you do, you might as well just turn over to me and I will do them quickly and correctly. I am easily managed. You must be firm with me. Show me exactly how you want something done, and after a few lessons, I will do it automatically. I am the servant of great people and, alas, of all failures as well. Those who are great, I have made great. Those who are failures, I have made failures. I'm not a machine, though I work with the precision of a machine plus the intelligence of a person. You may run me for profit or run me for ruin. It makes no difference to me. Take me, train me, be firm with me, and I will place the world at your feet. Be easy with me, and I will destroy you. Who am I? I am habit. Yeah. What gets measured improves. I told you I've done CrossFit. That's their obsession. That's their motto. What gets measured improves. And what you track stays on track. Just true. So you've got to measure those milestones and stay on track. And if you do it, I would do it every day, but, you know, if that's crazy, then do it every week for sure. Do it every week for sure. I've told you a million times, I have no talent, like, at all. Like, I'm like the most unathletic, most uncoordinated, most not talented, no skill, nothing person you would ever meet in the world. When I was in school, I was always the last person, I'm not exaggerating, the last person picked for every team. It would be like, we're not taking Donna, you take Donna. Oh no, we are not taking Donna. You're taking Donna. We took Donna last time. No talent. So how do I do these things? I just create the milestones and go do it. It's not because I have any talent. Trust me, no talent. I've already told you, most of you probably have more talent than me at just about everything I've accomplished, honestly. Honestly, I guarantee there's one person in this class for everything I've ever accomplished in my life. There's at least one person in this class who's way better at it than I am. But I've accomplished more. Why? Because I do this system. That's it. Why have I done a triathlon when I have no talent for anything? Well, because I set out a plan and tracked my milestones and did it. That's why. What are some significant milestones to aim for to make this your best year ever? What are some milestones along the way? Again, I use the running because it's just so obvious, 5K, 10K, you know, and you build up. And I've talked about this a little bit. Some of this today is just going to be review, so I'm going to whiz through it. But every once in a while, a tool comes along that's a real game changer in the area of personal management and self-mastery. For me, Google Forms is such a tool. For you, maybe you want to use a smartphone app. It doesn't matter. But I love my whiteboard, but I also love Google Forms. And I use my Google Forms daily to kind of track track my activities. And I'm going to show you an example of that in a minute. Again, we're talking about taking time for reflection. I thought this was amazing that the word monitor means to listen to transmitted signals. You see, your life is transmitting you signals. Are you listening? Broken relationships are transmitted signals. Health issues are transmitted signals. Weight gain is a transmitted signal. Frustration is a transmitted signal. Your life is sending you signals all the time. The silence of your spouse is a transmitted signal. It's the world, it's God, it's your family, it's your body trying to tell you something. But you're not listening to the signals. Right? You walk in a room and everyone leaves. You're like, okay, I don't think that means anything. Listen to the transmitted signals on a receiving set in order to check the quality of the transmission. Make sure you're still tuned in. Are you hearing from God? You know, are you paying attention to what's happening around you and keeping tuned into your own life? This is why television is so dangerous. If you've got TV on all day long, I really am just going to pray for you that would change right now. And even, I mean, everybody's different. I can't even have music on all the time, even Christian music. What are you tuning into? This really matters because honestly, it's really hard when you've got like a cacophony of sound. And I've been in homes like this. I've shared this story before. I was doing an event and they said, oh, we're putting you in the best possible place. This woman's local, she had a local TV show and she lived in this giant mansion. It was a beautiful, fabulous home. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. And I got there and they had 6 televisions all blaring different stations. And those TVs were still going at around midnight. I have never been so miserable in a home in my entire life. I once stayed in a farmhouse in Michigan in the basement on a beanbag chair next to the ferret. And that was better than this mansion because of all the cacophony of sound. I mean, I just couldn't hear myself think. And if you've got televisions going and radio going and all this jazz, no wonder you can't hear. This is an anointing that I have. I don't understand it. But I definitely, especially if I lay hands on people, I've done so many altar calls of this. God's given me anointing to lay hands on people's head and turn off the noise. Because a lot of you, it's not just the TV and, you know, the internet and, you know, the texting alerts and the Facebook notifications and beep, 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 beep. But God's given me anointing to just turn down the noise. All the voices in your head. Turn all of it, just turn it all off and tune in. And if you can't do that please, could you do it once a day maybe? And please do it once a week. Please, for the sake of your destiny. It's about tuning into God. That's what it's about. It's something we should, again, something we should do daily, but at least once a week. Make sure you're not getting a lot of static and that you haven't changed the channel. Critically important. You need to monitor your life because the unreflected life is not worth living. We get on autopilot. We're just going through the motions, going through the day. We come to the end of the year and we're like, I have no idea where this year went. Well, you will if you monitor. You will know, and you will know in writing, or you will know on a Google spreadsheet. You will know where the year went and what God showed you and what you learned and where you made progress. You will know. I've shared this many times, but it's powerful, so I'm going to share it again. Researchers surveyed people over the age of 90, and all they said was, what would you do differently? Open-ended. Top 3 answers, I would risk more. I would reflect more and I would do more significant things. And those are exactly the three things that I'm challenging you to do and make this your best year ever. Why? Because if you do this every year and make every year your best year ever by what? Risking more, putting yourself out there, reflecting more, doing more significant things. My pastor put out a challenge and I actually wrote out a big email and sent it out yesterday about this. But, you know, he said, what if this were the year when the fake you finally died and the real you dared to come to life? And by fake you, we mean that person occupying your body, but not in any way walking in the destiny that you were created to live. That's the fake you. See, the real you is living the life you were created to live. That's the real you. But what if this were the year? And the only way to kill off the fake you, the marking time you, the settling for second best you, and see the real you emerge, you're going to have to risk more. I mean, that's obvious. You're going to have to do more significant things, making a bigger contribution. But what's the third one? The one that most people don't even think of, not even on the radar screen. It's the one we're talking about here, right now. Reflect more. Monitor. Pay attention. Stay in tune with God. Stay in tune with your life. Stay in tune with the people around you. You know, this is why all of a sudden your husband leaves and you're like, why did he leave? I had no idea. Were you weren't monitoring. You weren't picking up the transmitted signals. He was withdrawing, working more and more and more hours and never coming home. That was a signal, which you weren't monitoring. You weren't picking up the subtle clues that something's wrong. Right? Monitor your life with careful reflection annually. Now we've done, that's what this class is all about. Maybe some of you should probably start every year with this class. Quarterly and weekly. Let me talk about weekly. I have used this weekly evaluation worksheet. I think I've used it since 1980. I think I've used this for about 35 years. This is one of the first tools that I got. I became a Christian and the youth pastor gave me a book. And in that book, there was something along these lines. Something in it that just got me inspired to create this for myself. And of course, it was just written on paper 35 years ago. And I've just done it ever since. I mean, you know, sometimes I fall away from it, but I really do try to take time on. So, I mean, I have so many of these worksheets. I burned them all in the bonfire, by the way. I talked about my bonfire. But these are the questions I ask. They don't need to be the questions you ask, but these are the ones I ask. Am I listening for and hearing God's voice? Isn't that interesting? 35 years ago, before I learned all this personal, professional development stuff, right? And the importance of monitoring your milestones. God handed me this. You know, it's the most important thing is to be listening and hearing from God. It goes back to Henry Blackaby. One of the best books you'll ever read in your life, Experiencing God, is that if you are not hearing from God, there's a problem at the very heart of your Christian experience. Because he said, my sheep hear my voice. Are you getting signals from the Father? I mean, are you tuning in with the Holy Spirit? Are you experiencing God? Because if not, that's a problem at the very heart of your Christian life. And we can change that. God wants to speak to you. And yeah, that doesn't mean like you're hearing noises from your napkin. I mean, some people go a little, you know, you can go a little crazy. But he speaks through his word. This is beyond the scope. I can't teach this. He speaks through his word. He speaks through his people. He speaks through circumstances. Mostly he speaks through his word. Am I increasingly manifesting the fruit of the Spirit? How's it going? Am I filled with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? Because that's evidence, again, monitoring, that's evidence that I'm abiding in the vine. Because if you're abiding in the vine, you're growing in these things. What did God teach me in my quiet times? And I really would add, like, and I always added in, you know, how about church? You know, what did I learn at church or Bible study? What are just things that I learned? This is more like from his word. What did I learn from his word? Or, you know, maybe I heard a great podcast or a great sermon or I attended an online conference. What are some things that I learned from my Bible study? And that's really what more of that is aimed towards, right? Which priorities did I live by? This might be for you. No, which goals did I work on? And then which priorities did I neglect? Or, you know, where am I off target for my goals for the year or for this month, etc.? And then you know how to course correct a little bit. What new thing did I learn? Just in general, about life, about God, about my family, about the people around me. You know, maybe you noticed something about your kids. Yeah, I noticed about my youngest daughter this week, you know, blah, 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 blah. Then we don't have to hopefully do as much relearning of things. How many of you have relearned the same thing over and over again? You know, maybe if you write it down and really press in and take some time to pray over it and reflect over it. Or if you keep noticing, you know, pretty much every week I learn this new thing and it's the same thing God's been trying to teach me over and over again. And then what are my specific priorities for the coming week? So you do this time of reflecting on the prior week, then you really know what you're doing when you walk over to your whiteboard or whatever and plan the coming week. You've really, in a very deep way, dealt with God, tuned into Him, and just said, Lord, okay, what's on track for the coming week? What are we doing? And I'll post this little form. It's a PDF. I'll post that up to the Facebook group. But I really encourage you, you know, make your own list and put it into Google Form. If you like it on paper, you know, just make it on paper, make your own. Or use the Google Form. I love the Google Form. I really love it. Because then it gives you a spreadsheet of all your answers in one convenient place. And it's free. You know, some people are like, I don't trust Google. Yeah, I don't trust them either. So if you want to do paper, that's fine. I don't remember which guru put this out, but I got this in a PDF, and I thought that this was worth sharing. That 90 days really is a good goal to break things quarterly. And again, the Lord gave me quarterly evaluation 30 years ago. Once a quarter, do a bigger evaluation. I don't have my specific tool for that. I'm sure it's somewhere. Maybe I'll dig that up. Or you could, I mean, just come up with your own. But now, 30 years later, gurus and experts and researchers and studies have shown that 6 months and 1 year goals are more likely to go unachieved. Do you hear that? 6 month and 1 year goals are more likely to go unachieved. Unachieved. Pause. Humans' natural tendency to overestimate what they can achieve in those time frames then causes discouragement and self-doubt. Mm-hmm. If you've battled with missing your goals in the past, the 90-day year, he has a really thousands of dollars training program called the 90-day year, will turn those goals into successes. And that's his whole premise, you know, that you should take, okay, have your year goals for the year and then break it into 90 days, you know, quarterly segments. And, you know, notice I do like I have two books that are 90 days, the 90-day renewal, and then I had the 90-day jumpstart based on my Proverbs book. But anyway, something to think about if your head's not already swimming. I know some of you are like, oh, did I do my annual goals? That was step two, okay? So you know the three things that you want to do this year, and hopefully you've already determined what you want to do in 21 days in January, but it might behoove you to kind of map out, you know, look at your annual goals and think, could I break them into quarterly goals? Just an idea. I haven't really baked this into the system as much, but it's something that the Lord showed me. And I think, you know, I stumbled upon this old thing from the 90-day year, and I thought it was worth sharing and giving you something to think about. Again, if you're on overwhelmed, then just ignore this slide. But it does create kind of a natural rhythm. It creates a natural sense of urgency and momentum over the days and weeks. And they found, and I have a chart somewhere, but it really is a good time frame to keep your focus. If you prefer, just do monthly goals. But I think a time of quarterly reflection, and not everybody can do this, but maybe, you know, once a quarter you go and spend 3-4 hours at a coffee shop and just reflect, how did the prior 90 days go? And make it an appointment with yourself. A lot of leading people do this. So right at, like at the end of March, you know, then the end of June, whatever, you're taking a longer period of time, just even beyond that weekly evaluation. And what you could do is go back over your Google form or go back over all of your you know, paper evaluations and really get kind of an eagle eye view on how you're living your life and how the year is going so far. So hopefully this helped some people. I'm sure it confused some, but hopefully it was helpful to some of you. My big point is to take time for reflection. Now, I think that this is really important. There's a difference between healthy reflection and unhealthy self-absorption. Let that sit. I'm encouraging healthy reflection, not unhealthy self-absorption. And I think that the way we do that is by focusing, as you saw in my questions, on what healthy reflection is focused on God and what God is doing, what God is saying, what God is calling you to do, what's happening inside you, and in the positive, how you're growing in the spirit, on the people around you, what you're noticing about them and your needs and what you are getting accomplished. Unhealthy self-absorption is all about what's wrong with me. I mean, I don't know. I got to look at me. What's wrong with me? Well, why am I such a loser? And why is everything? You know, I think it's just the negative versus positive perspective. This reflection is not about being self-absorbed. Does that make sense? It's about God. And it really is just a matter of your heart. You could be doing the exact same reflection sitting there just thinking about yourself. Or you could be going through these reflection questions and thinking about, you know, how can you glorify God? How is the way you're living bringing glory to his great name? Amen. Does this make sense? I hope this just makes sense. So it's your turn to make a list of questions that you need to ask yourself during a time of quiet reflection once per week. And again, maybe some larger questions that you ask once a quarter. And these are questions that will empower you to tune into God, to tune into your life and course correct as needed each week, rather than waiting until you're at the end of the year and realize, you know what, I was on the wrong track all along. And as I mentioned, consider the quarterly goals and a quarterly evaluation as well. You can use paper, Google Form, find a smartphone app. You know, you're creative. You'll find a way. That brings us on to day 8, how to reward yourself in a rewarding way. And I covered this in the introductory webinar, and I covered it when we hit SMART goals. So hopefully we can just whiz right through this. But it brings us to step 6. Celebrate your achievements. The greatest management principle in the world is what? By now you should have this memorized. Behavior that gets rewarded gets repeated. And it's the greatest self-management principle. And many of us reward all the wrong behaviors and often with the wrong rewards. The key is to reward yourself in the right way. And I've challenged you with this, and I really want you to dig deep. Some of you already know the answer. Some of you, God wants to show you some other things. What unwanted behavior keeps repeating in your life? You're rewarding it. You're rewarding it. That's why it's repeating. And this really, we really need the Holy Spirit to do this. We can't do this because you can't see what you can't see. You don't know what you don't know. That this is happening on the unconscious level and you don't even know it. So Holy Spirit, we're going to come to you right now and we're going to ask you, wise counselor, the all-knowing one, would you reveal to each person listening to the sound of my voice one thing, one behavior pattern that's repeating in their life? And would you show them within the next 24 hours exactly how they're rewarding it? Because when they stop rewarding it, that behavior will stop repeating. So Holy Spirit, I'm asking you, just right now, would you do the first part? Just one, not 100, one behavior pattern in their life that's holding them back from their destiny, but it keeps repeating. What is it? And then would you, in the coming day or so, would you reveal to them supernaturally? Because this is deep stuff, all on the unconscious level. How very rewarding. And don't go on a hunt to find out why you did that and something happened in your childhood. I mean, if the Holy Spirit shows you that, it's great. But the important thing right now is to change it. Ours not to reason why. Ours is just to do or die, okay? And this stuff is killing you, okay? So let's just do and not get too bogged down in the why. If the Holy Spirit shows you a why, great, move on. Just, oh, thank you for sharing that. I see it now. Now I'm going to do differently. Right? Does this make sense? Again, that's the difference between healthy, you know, unhealthy self-absorption and healthy reflection. Healthy reflection is, okay, wow, you showed me that, Holy Spirit. Wonderful. Now I know what to do next. Amen? Because that's always a good, a disempowering question is why am I, what's wrong with me? Why am I doing that? A healthy question is, okay, what's next? What's next? Where do I go from here? How do I move forward? Those are the questions that you want to ask as you reflect. Okay? Is that helpful? Amen. Results don't lie. Emblazon this on your forehead. Put this up on a wall. Get a poster board that doesn't say anything else. Results don't lie. Results don't lie. They don't. Results always tell the truth. So whatever your stated goal is, whatever goal you wrote down on paper, you know, whoever you want, you know, want to be, results don't lie. They just don't. And every person in every area has one of two things. Every person in every area of their lives has only one of two things. There's no vacuum here. There's no middle ground. You either have results or excuses. And I will tell you in love, and I know I'm being a little harsh today, so I ask the Holy Spirit to, you know, give me some, you know, subtleties before we're over. But every minute you spend making an excuse is a minute you're not getting result. Does that make sense? Any moment that you're spending getting results, there's no need to make excuses because you're too busy getting results. And every minute you spend making excuses is a minute you could have spent getting results, but you're not because you're making excuses. These are mutually exclusive. And so you need to decide. And you know what the great thing is? God loves you. God's going to love you no matter what. God will love you whether you choose results or excuses. But just be aware, and I'm getting there in a minute, you're really releasing some powerful spiritual forces, more than you know. And that was my download yesterday. I'm getting to that in a minute. But which one do you have? And this applies to every area in your life. You know, in one area, you might be getting great results. Do you need excuses? No, because you got great results. But in another area of your life, all you've got is a bag of excuses. So let go of the excuses and start getting some results. Even if that's why I said an inch. Can you move an inch? Focus on the inch. Focus on the inch. Let go of the excuses. Honestly, I love you and I'm the same way. We need to let go of all the excuses. Stop. Stop the insanity. It's not working. Stop. We can be, do, and have everything God created us to have, be, and do. We can. With our God, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. With our God, we can scale a mountain. With our God, we can put 10,000 to flight. With our God, we can do, be, and have everything that He has planned. Or we could just sit and have excuses. It's up to us. And His love is the same, but our life isn't the same. I'll say that again. His love is the same, but our life isn't the same. Again, His love is the same, but our life won't be the same. In order to make this principle work for you rather than against you, and for most of us, it's working against us, at least in some area of our life. It's important to identify the key behaviors that are absolutely critical to your success and then decide in advance how, when, and even where you're going to reward yourself for consistently engaging those behaviors. So list the key behaviors you need to reward so they will be repeated. No, seriously, list them. List them. You get a pen and paper, just jot them down. Don't make 5 million of them. Maybe list a handful and start with just one. I'm just going to start with one. And we, again, we cover this under SMART goals, but the size of the reward must match the size of the achievement. The monetary value should be $50 to $100 or more, or maybe a time value, maybe a half a day to a weekend. Pick a reward that seriously motivates you, something you would not normally give yourself. And for some of you, that's hard because you just give yourself whatever you want. That's a huge problem. This will not work for you if you already give yourself the reward you want most. Yeah, so I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Give others a stake in your success. Include them in the reward so that they want to see you succeed rather than sabotaging you, which some of you live with people. That unless you give them a stake in it and show them how it's to their benefit for you to succeed, they will sabotage you. And for some of them, even if you do give them a stake, they'll still sabotage you. But with your God, you could do anything. I would encourage you, I think this is out of order a little bit, but I'm going to talk about rewarding yourself by understanding your love language, the 5 love languages. And when you understand your love language, you'll have a better idea of the type of rewards that are really going to feed your soul. So your first step is to go to this website, 5lovelanguages.com, 5lovelanguages.com/profile. And you can take a free assessment tool. This will change your life. I can remember, I read this book when my oldest daughter was 13 years old. Or 14. She was an early teen. And I just sat there and wept. Because all of a sudden I understood why my daughter didn't feel loved by me. And I could tell she didn't feel loved by me. I could tell. And I couldn't understand it. Because my love language is gifts. So I basically was working myself to death to buy her gifts. I mean, I bought her a farm. I bought her goats. I bought her, because that's what she liked. I bought her a pony. I bought her an Arabian horse. Okay. I mean, I bought her doll houses and giant. I mean, I just bought her. So we had like a 7,000 square foot house. I mean, she just had so much stuff. She had a playroom and her bedroom and a live-in nanny. I mean, I just bought her everything because gifts are my love language. She did not feel loved by me. She didn't. I saw it. So I just kept buying her more stuff. I can't even tell how many giant, like, stuffed horses I bought her. And then I read this book and found out her love language was quality time. The one thing I never gave her. Never. Why? Because I was working all day to get the money to buy her all the gifts so she would know how much I loved her. Yeah. Wow. 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 Changed me forever. Boy, did I just cried. I'm like, oh God, talk about monitoring. Maybe if I'd have paid a little more attention, bought her the pony, she still doesn't feel loved. That's where buying the horse is the solution, because I bought her the horse and she still doesn't really seem to feel loved by me. Why? Because I wasn't speaking her language. You know what she wants? Quality time. I could have saved all that money and not maybe, you know, maybe not worked myself to death providing all these presents. Just being honest. Just being honest, because you may be living with someone right now and you're killing yourself, but you're not speaking their language. And then this really ties into rewarding yourself, because if you'll reward yourself according to your love language, it will minister to your soul in such a profound way. It will really meet a deep, deep need within you. So I have to be careful because my love language is gifts. So I always want to tell people, reward yourself with a present, you know? And people are different. I learned that. Yeah. Not everybody's motivated. I can't believe it, but not everybody is motivated by a present. Gosh, who would have ever guessed that? Not me. Quality time. Quality time. Some people feel loved by eye to eye, eyeball to eyeball, no multitasking. I was never not multitasking. Never. I was always doing five things. Mom. Yeah, okay. I'm gonna let me do these 10 things. I'm cooking and typing and da-da-da. No, I love you. I'll buy you a present. Now, quality timers, you have to put everything away. Everything. Make eye contact. Sit. They love to sit, which, of course, I never sit. I'm like, God, please don't send me any more quality timers because I maxed out on these quality timers. But you have to sit. You can't do anything else. You can't get anything accomplished. You can't even walk. I'm like, can we have quality time and walk and get some exercise? No. You got to sit eyeball to eyeball, totally focus on them, ask them deep questions, and let them bond and ask you questions and just spend time with them. And if this is your love language, then your reward, you need to tell somebody that you enjoy spending time with, honey, I'm going to, lose this 20 pounds and then I want me and you on a beach for the weekend and you don't bring your smartphone and we just sit and look at each other and talk about things. That's my reward, right? So you better pick somewhere he really wants to go so he has a stake in it. Amen? Again, gifts. This is an easy one. Give yourself a special gift. Or you could give someone you love a list of 10 gifts. Because usually gift people, we like surprises. So give them a list of 10 gifts you would enjoy when you've completed your goal, and then they can give it to you. So you don't know which one it's going to be. And we gift people, we love that. We love that. The other thing that a lot of times we've done is set the goal and then buy a gift card right up front. The day you set the goal, go get a gift card, whether it's for a massage, a pedicure, a manicure, your favorite store. Get the gift card up front. And then you can't use it until you've hit the goal. I really like that one. I've done that. I love to go to the spa. There's a really expensive spa, one of the top in the country. And I don't usually go there. I mean, believe it's got to be something you don't usually do. I don't go there unless I have a gift card. So I set a big goal and I went and bought the gift card. It's $150, wow, it better be a big goal. And then I put that gift card, right where I can see it. And I'm like, I can't use this until I've achieved this goal. And I really want to go to the spa. That's the mothership. A day of relaxation. Yeah, that works for me. May not work for you, but something to think about. Acts of service. You might have to involve, you'd have to involve someone. You have a loved one who's going to ease the burden of responsibility for a day, a weekend, or to tackle a special project alongside of you. The other thing you could do, acts of service, like cleaning your house. That's an act of service. Washing your car. So maybe your goal, your reward is 10 car washes. And you get a certificate. Go to the car wash and get certificates for 10 car washes. Or maybe you have a house cleaner come for a day. But someone who's going to serve you, because you show love by serving, but you also feel loved when you are being served. Maybe you'll have someone come and cook, hire someone to come and cook for you. Or maybe if you achieve your goal, you'll have 1 week of healthy, all the local communities have this. Someone locally who does healthy meal prep and they deliver it to your house so that you're being served. So think about that. Physical touch, is that your love language? Then again, a facial, a massage, a pedicure, or maybe a loved one will agree to, give you X number of foot rubs or long walks holding your hands. But get creative. The reward, it doesn't just have to be like a present. That's only one. And this love language test is really going to help you. And if you don't know the love languages of all the people in your life, this really is eye-opening and will make a big difference in the quality of your life. Celebrate. Should we be celebrating? We are commanded 88 times to celebrate. Deuteronomy 12:18, you are to celebrate in the presence of God, your God, all the things you were able to accomplish. So is it okay sometimes Christians are like, well, I don't know if I can, I don't want to reward myself. I don't like to do anything for myself. I don't like to spend money on myself. Never kid a kidder. Never kid a kidder. You are already rewarding yourself. You are doing this. You're already doing it. That's the point. And the less you accomplish, the more you are probably rewarding all the wrong behaviors. But you are already doing this. The problem is that you're already rewarding yourself, but you're probably rewarding all the wrong behaviors with all the wrong rewards. But you are rewarding yourself. So don't tell yourself, oh, I don't like to reward myself. I couldn't do that. You are rewarding yourself. If you're a human being on the planet, you're rewarding yourself. The question is, what are you rewarding and how are you rewarding it? Key verses. More on celebration. Moses posted the calendar for the annual appointed feast of God, which Israel was to celebrate. God commands celebration. These are just some examples. You know, you should have a calendar with appointed feasts. Okay. You should maybe every 90 days, if you do the quarterly evaluation, or every month or whatever, where you're going to have an appointed feast. And it might be a feast of quality time or a feast of gifts or a feast of physical touch. I don't care. But you need to have some appointed feasts on your calendar. Times when you're really going to reward yourself in a big way if and only if you accomplish what you set out to do. Rejoice at your festival for 7 days at the place God designates. I think God has designated Hawaii. I'm telling you, you know what? God has designated 7 days in Fiji. Doesn't that sound about right? Some of you need to designate on your calendar a festival to come with me to Fiji this year. 7 days in Fiji.com. God, your God, has been blessing you in your harvest and in all your work. So make a day of it. Really celebrate. Deuteronomy 16:1. Are you getting this? Why did God command us to celebrate? Why did he tell, hey, mark your calendar, plan a celebration. Make a day of it. Go celebrate your harvest. Why did he do that? Because he knows about this. he knows how we're made. He knows that behavior that gets rewarded gets repeated. And that's why he wants you to reward all your work. Notice that, underline that, all your work. He wants you to reward all your work and all your accomplishments and all the good things you were able to get done for his glory. Amen? Really celebrate. Make a day of it. See, when I go to the spa, I make a day of it. I have like one. I'm like the Beverly Hillbillies over there. This is like the second richest community in the entire country after Beverly Hills, this Ponte Vedra Beach. And I'm like the Beverly Hillbillies traipsing in, right? These women are there all day getting all these services. I've got my one little gift card. You know, I've got my one-hour facial. I don't care. I'll schedule it for 2 in the afternoon. This is true. I'll be there when the doors open at 8, and I'll go in and just sit here and sit there and go in the spa and go in there and pretend I belong. And, you know, it's just great. And then get mine. And then I just make a day of it. Bye-bye, world. No computer, no laptop. Nobody saying mom, mom, mom. Nothing. Because I'm obeying Deuteronomy. It's the law, people. You need to obey the law. Some of you need to obey the law and go plan a spa day. Say, look, honey, I gotta obey the Lord. Deuteronomy, okay? Have you read Deuteronomy? That's serious stuff. I mean, that's like God laying down the law and telling us what to do. And God told me, I gotta make a day of it and really celebrate. So I just have to be obedient to what the Lord's saying. I'm sorry. I mean, I can't risk being disobedient here, God. You know, hubby, I gotta go. Gotta do it. Key verses. This is my favorite verse in the Bible. So, Psalm 96:8. Bring gifts and celebrate. Yay. And I'm giving evidence. You can make the Bible say whatever you want. Here's my point. And I think I'm belaboring it. You are rewarding behavior. You will reward behavior. Will it be conscious or unconscious? Will it make your life better or worse? Will it empower you and move you forward or disempower you and keep you stuck? There's no other option here. Now, here's a biggie. I'm not going to camp here. Your reward might be attention and sense of significance. And the activity you're rewarding is complaining about your problems. Every time you complain about your problems to somebody, you've got a little bit of attention, a little bit of significance. Wow. Really? That happened to you? Wow. That's like the biggest problem I've ever heard. And you're like, yep, that's me. I got big problems over here. And lots of them. Wow. You have a lot of problems. Wow. That's amazing. That happened to you? Really? Wow. Yeah. I know someone's feelings just got hurt, but the truth, I'm talking to myself too. I used to be the absolute worst at this. Now I'm second place. The only reason I know all this stuff is because we're all the same. Left to my own devices, I would do this 24/7, and I probably do quite a bit of it. But God's working on me and dealing with me. And so y'all are in here with me. This is so much bigger than we think. In that moment when we're telling people the latest thing that went crazy and haywire in our lives, I used to call myself a weird experiences magnet. And I loved to tell people all about the latest weird thing that you're not going to believe what happened to me. You're not going to believe what happened now. And then you've got an audience. You've got a captive audience. Come on. Come on now. That's rewarding something in you. Maybe it's quality time. Yeah. Maybe it's feeding your need for quality time. Everybody in the whole room, everybody in the Bible study has to stop and listen as you, I have a prayer request. Okay. And then it's this 20-minute thing. Yeah. I used to do ladies' Bible studies in the local church. Oh, yeah. Come on now, you know that lady every week. It's like, oh no, please don't raise your hand. Please, I love you with the love of the Lord. Please don't raise your hand. Dear Jesus, please, please. Yeah. That's why I don't teach local Bible studies. Too much of a prophet. Now I'm going to give you a dire warning. And this is from the Lord fresh yesterday. This is part of what he was showing me in my own life. And this is for someone. I'm going to give you a dire warning. Because God gave it to me. Are you rewarding the devil? Are you rewarding the devil? He loves publicity. And we provide fuel for the flame. This is huge. Are you rewarding the devil? Whenever he does something to you, what does he want more than anything? He wants attention. He wants attention. He wants credit. What was his sin? Pride. What does pride want? Pride wants to be the focus. Pride wants all the attention. Pride wants significance. Pride wants everyone to notice it and talk about it. And wow, how amazing. Are we rewarding the devil by giving him publicity? I need to work on this. I've made this mistake. In my Christian walk, too focused. Are we going to be balanced? We don't want to be ignorant of his schemes. But we don't want, I realize like God's like, you talk more about the devil than you do about me. Stop. Are you rewarding him? Every time you complain, you're rewarding the devil. Every time you complain about your circumstances, you're rewarding the devil. Every time you focus on your problems, you're rewarding the devil. Every time you criticize somebody, you're rewarding the devil for telling you that person's faults. Every time you point out someone's fault, you're rewarding the devil for showing you someone else's faults. And you know what he's going to do? More of the same. Behavior that gets rewarded gets repeated. Every time you reward the devil, and make no mistake, we did a whole teaching. One of our teachers did this whole thing on toxic emotions. And toxic emotions, yeah, it's powerful. You know what they are? They're evil. They're demonic. Anxiety, worry, fear, anger. Let's call them what they are. I think it'll work better. They're demonic. They're demonic. They're not just toxic. They're not just, you really shouldn't worry or be anxious for that. It's really bad and something you're struggling with. No, it's demonic. I'll tell you, the Lord arrested me and he gave me a holy, reverential fear of some of this stuff yesterday. I've been a Christian for how long, and how do I not see this? Demons play by these same rules. When you reward their behavior, they repeat it. When you reward their behavior, they repeat it. We have to be careful even in deliverance. You know, if someone shows up and starts manifesting a demon and convulsing and vomiting and doing all this stuff, and everybody, the whole service stops and everyone pays attention to what the devil's doing, guess what he's going to do next week? He's going to do the same thing. In fact, I had a testimony of this. It was a friend of mine who's a missionary from China. And he said they had the service, and every single week, this former Muslim woman, this happened in Paris, France. Every week, this former Muslim woman would come to the service and manifest a demon. And the entire church would stop, and they would all gather around her and pray over her and cast out the demon. I mean, that, like, the whole service just became this focus, because this problem that she had with this demon. Cast out the demon. The demon would go. She'd get up. She'd look great. She'd look fine. She'd be wonderful. And she'd be, "Pastor, I'm doing so great. Monday, Tuesday." She'd come back, you know, by Saturday, you know, it was back. Sunday, same thing. He said this went on and on and on and on. Why? Because you're rewarding that behavior. So they took her privately. They said, "You know, we're not going to do this publicly anymore. If you need deliverance, you need to come on Saturday. And let's get this solved and get to the root and, you know, do the forgiveness and close the doors and all that. But we're not going to make a public display of this anymore." I don't know who that was for. That wasn't planned. Somebody in leadership. Be careful. Be careful. This is from Tony Robbins. Not exactly the Bible, but boy, this hit me like a ton of bricks. Your biggest problems that you think you shouldn't have problems. "I have a problem. Wait a minute. Stop the presses, everybody. I've got a problem over here." Of course you have problems. Everybody has problems. Jesus gave us a promise. You know, in this world, you will have problems. Right? Everybody has problems. Everybody. The biggest problem is that you're surprised. Peter said, you know, don't be surprised when you go through things. I mean, you're on earth. You're going to have every day, you're going to have new problems. So don't, why would that surprise you? Why would we need to stop the presses and, you know, just alert everybody at the new problem that just life brought our way, or the devil? And I was the worst. I'm telling you, I was the worst. And the more I did it, the more he did it. We need to reward all the right behavior. What should we focus on instead? Here's an idea. How about if we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith? How about if we fix our eyes on all the blessings, like eternity with God? How about if we focus on all the things that we can be grateful and thankful for? How about if we wake up every day and get on our knees and just honor God and say, "God, my life is yours. What will you do today in my life for your great name, for your great fame? God, how can I honor you today? How can I publicize you today? How can I tell the world all the great things that you are doing in and through my life? How can I just celebrate them, Lord? How can I be diligent? How can I walk in integrity and excellence today? God, what do you want me to accomplish today? Because I know you created me for accomplishment, whether that's accomplishing things spiritually, by abiding in you, accomplishing things in the spiritual realm, growing my faith, growing my character, increasing in fruit. God, you created me to accomplish, whether it's accomplishing things in my family and in my church and community by being a blessing, blessed to be a blessing. Who can I bless? Who can I serve? Who can I spend quality time with? Who can I buy a present for? Who can I do an act of service for? Who needs a neck rub? How can I bless somebody today? God, I thank you for your gifts. I thank you for all that you are and all that you've done. I praise you for the life that you've given me. Thank you for a new opportunity today. I'm going to fix my eyes, because my eyes are broken. I mean, there's something wrong with my eyes. Here's my wrong, right? I keep looking at the devil, that my eyes are like broken. For some reason, they keep tilt, going and looking at the devil. I need to fix them. I need to fix my eyes on Jesus and fix my eyes on all the great things you're showing me and all the great things you're doing in me and around me and the way you're moving in the world. Thank you, God. You're awesome. You're worthy and you're worth it. And from this moment forward, I am not going to be the devil's broadcasting system. I don't care what he does. I really am not all that interested in what he does. I'm far more interested, God, in what you're doing and what you're calling me to do. And that's enough to keep me busy. Can we proactively get busy cooperating with God as he transforms us more and more into the image of his dear son? And it helps to fix our eyes on his dear son and see him and behold his beauty and behold his character and behold the way he lived and the words that he spoke and the challenges he set forth and the commands that he gave to love God, love people, and take his message to the world and make disciples. So fix our eyes, God. Would you fix our eyes so that they're not continually focused on everything that's wrong? Would you fix my eyes? Because they've been broken for 55 years and I need them fixed. I need a new pair of glasses. I need to look at the world through your eyes, through eyes of faith and praise and gratitude, with supernatural eyes that says nothing is impossible with my God. Have you met him? Hello? There's nothing my God can't do. He's so strong and so mighty. I need a new pair of glasses, and a lot of us do. God gave a pastor a word on the webinar about that. And I think it's a word for all of us, really. Fix our eyes. Would you fix our eyes so that we can get focused on the prize, forgetting what's behind, straining towards what ahead, press on towards the prize. And that prize is there for those who overcome. For those who step out, step up, say goodbye to their fake self, that person occupying their body, but not living even remotely according to all that you've purposed. And let this be the year. Let this be the week. Let this be the moment that the real us emerges. The real us, focused on Jesus and being transformed day by day by day into his glory, victory to victory, strength to strength, praising you, God, praising you, and focused on all that you're doing and finding you in the midst of every situation, even the most dire circumstance. We can find you in the midst of it if we will look. If we seek, we will surely find. If we ask, we will surely receive. And some of us just need to ask for revelation. Lord, where are you in the midst of this? Where are you in the midst of this? Show me your glory. Show me your way. And show me what you're trying to show me. Hey, God, would you show me what you're trying to show me so I could get it, get the lesson, and move forward? Hallelujah. We love you, God. You're so good to us, and you are so worthy of all of our attention and all of our praise and all of our publicity. And would you forgive us? Would you forgive me for the hours I've wasted giving publicity to your adversary? No more. No more. My eyes are fixed on you. Amen. I will take your comments now. I have a feeling you've got them. The Lord really ministered to you. Something really spoke to you, and you just feel led to share that. We'd love to hear from you. What you need to do is raise your hand. And also, if you want to type a comment, if you're like, I don't want to talk and I don't want my name used, you can type it in as a comment, and I'll read it without your name. Or you can raise your hand. And I can't call on everybody necessarily, but I want to get a few, and I want to make it a variety of people. We want to hear from a lot of different people and different voices. So let me see if I can get over here and scroll. Okay. Raise your hand real quick. Okay, here we go. And this is a new one. I like that. Dorothy, are you there? You would need to unmute yourself on your end. I've unmuted you, but you'd have to unmute yourself on your side too. Dorothy, are you there? Okay, she's not there. Okay. We'll go through. See, anybody else? Raise your hand real quick. Here we go. Jesse, are you there? Looks like if it's turned white, I can't get them for some reason. Let me try another one. And scrolling through. Anyone? Just want to give a anyone the Lord spoke to? Want to give a praise? No, that surprises me. I hope this was on target. Now I'm nervous. Hang on. Lord, were you here? Oh, okay, here's some of the core questions. Atel said, how do I organize my thoughts today? I like that. Teresa, what do I need today to reach my goals? Shannon says, how do you want me to use me? Anne-Marie says, what can I do to show up early and eager for his presence? Jillian says, how can I give thanks to God for this? Shannon says, how do you want to, oh, okay. Thanks, Shannon. I was a little confused. She says, how do you want to use me? Good. That's good. Okay. Mary Lou says, please lay hands and turn off the noise. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. I absolutely prayed that. Yeah, this is good. Somebody says, when you said stop the insanity, the Lord said to me, get off the wheel of excuses. Well, thank you, Lord. Anne-Marie says, I'm a quality timer. We can't be friends then. I've reached my quotient of quality timers. I can't look into anyone else's eyes while sitting and doing nothing else. Yeah. Oh, Melissa is like, what did you mean when you said we can make God's word say whatever we want? I mean, it's like, how do I explain that? I often say, like, nobody believes what's in the Bible. Nobody believes what we read in the Bible. We read what we believe, right? Like we all like to go to that part of the Bible that affirms what we believe and what we want to hear. You know, and it's very easy. People can like pick and choose a verse here and pick and choose a verse over there and take it out of context and make it say whatever they want it to say. I mean, people do this all the time. But, you know, we need to look at the whole counsel of God, right? And compare, you know, what's in the Old Testament and the New Testament and what's the context of the verse, right? Yeah, I mean, people do it all the time. They take God's word out of context and, you know, just kind of make it say whatever they want it to say. So I hope that makes sense. Maybe we have somebody. We do! Vicky!
Hi, Donna.
Yay! We have somebody.
I am just so thankful for today because being a pastor and in counseling, I've run into so much stuff that we talked about today. So I've got it for myself. I'm excited to spend time and let the Lord show me for me specifically with my own goals. But this is going to be so helpful when dealing with other people as well. I just want to say thank you. You really brought clarity today.
Oh, thank you. I was nervous when no one had their hand raised. I was like, oh, Lord, did this not hit home? So I appreciate the confirmation. And, you know, even if all it does is help you minister more effectively to your own congregation, then, you know, mission accomplished. Let me scroll through and see if someone else has raised their hand, because I like to kind of hear from you at this point. And then I'll just scroll through the comments. But if not, I mean, that's fine. It's a long day. It's been, you know, a long session. Let me see if I have anybody. Hey, Dorothy, are you ready now?
Yes, I am.
Oh, wonderful.
Thank you, Donna, for all your teachings. It's really touched my heart.
Wonderful.
I just feel I'm so stressed out. I did send a letter to you last night. I want so to be so close to the Lord. This is my greatest desire.
do want to take part in your classes, but even today, just when I sat down to listen, the telephone rang, and I missed quite a bit of your study, and it really bothers me because I wanted to hear all of this. God is so good to me, so good.
Well, let's pray. Let's pray for you. So you have a beautiful day, sire. This desire is a beautiful day, sire. It's of the Father. So, Father, would you just comfort your daughter this morning? That you say, be anxious for nothing, and so that nothing has to include drawing closer to you. That's not something that she needs to be anxious about. That you are pursuing her. You are pursuing her. You are the pursuer, God. And you are pursuing her, and you are wooing her, and you are stirring up more of a hunger and a thirst for you and for your presence. And that's a good thing. And you will satisfy her with good things. I think that's Psalm 103. He will satisfy you with good things. And that's a great word for a lot of people. God wants to satisfy you with good things, with healthy rewards, with new spiritual insight and wisdom and revelation. Those are rewards. Those are spiritual rewards. Maybe I should have talked about those. Maybe I'll talk about those another day. You know, the reward of just the beauty of his presence. The reward of seeing him at work in our families. Yeah, what about all those spiritual rewards? Wow, those are amazing. Those are amazing. So God, I just pray for Dorothy, and I pray for everyone who feels overwhelmed. God, that they would just walk in peace and just choose to say, I will rest. I will rest in you. That's a decision. When you start to feel overwhelmed, just say, I will rest in you. And even sing it. There's a little song. I will rest in him. I will rest in him. Right? That would be a great song to listen to over and over again. I'm just going to rest. I'm not going to be in turmoil. Because I know that God is the shepherd, and he's leading and he's guiding, and he's taking me to that place of still waters. Let me see if there's any. Maybe there's one more. I'm having a little bit of technical trouble over here today. Yeah, I don't know why it's doing this. Let me see what I'm doing wrong. Okay. Any other comments? Hopefully this doesn't... Nope. Okay, let me get on here. Other questions? Focus on fruit of the Spirit. So powerful word for today. Turn your my favorite. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. The things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That was from Pastor James. Yeah, it's one of my favorites. Judy says it was on target. Liz says you are on target, especially about toxic emotions. Teresa says this has been amazing. Oh, okay. All right, Jesse, I'm coming. It's kind of tricky for me to get back into the... I'll get better at this. Here we go. Jessie says she's figured it out. Here she is. Now, you're still showing as muted on your end, Jessie. I've unmuted you, but you're still showing as muted. Ah, here you go. There you are. Go ahead.
Hi. I just want to tell you I love today, and I really like the part we can make excuses or we can get results. And I'm saying it to myself. I can make excuses or make results. And what we say yes to, we need to filter it.
That's perfect. Exact. I like that. I really like that. I'm going to repeat it because it's a little hard to hear you. She said, and I like this better. You can either make excuses or make results. That's better. Make excuses or make results. I really like, that's better. Good job. You've just improved this. And she also said, filter everything. Through your goals. Absolutely. Filter it through that so that you decide what you're saying yes to and what you're saying no to. That's really good. Anything else? That was great, Jesse.
That's pretty much it. And I just want to encourage everybody, you know, things do come.
Amen. That was beautiful. Thanks so much for sharing. Wonderful. I love it. When you guys, see, you guys are smarter than me. There you go. There's your perfect example of someone in this class, a whole lot smarter than me. Okay. All right. Let me just see a couple, see if there's any comments down here anybody wants to share. And if not, we'll wrap. Somebody says, I am so convicted. I have been giving the enemy so much glory and not even knowing it. Me too. Me too. I'm right there with you. She says, Lord, forgive me. Another says, thank you, Dawn. It was perfect. It spoke to my heart. Another says, I'm still trying to process everything. Another, it really helped me to think of other kinds of rewards. Yeah. Yeah. And that's probably my bad because I'm so about gifts. I probably use that example too much. Because that's what I like, but that doesn't mean it's what everybody likes. So good. Another, I've been thinking about why I act the way I do toward my dad. It's because I have not fixed my eyes on God. For praising him for the time I have. Breakthrough. Yeah. Learning a lot lately about fruit of the spirit and anecdote to the other stuff. Yeah. I mean, that's the answer to everything, right? Time in his presence grows the fruit. As we spend time in his presence, fruit grows. Like, I don't have any self-control. Well, spend time in his presence and fruit will grow. Another, it was good, especially the biggie. God was just showing me that I was complaining about one particular area and it's ultimately a pride issue. You know what the scary thing is? We finally figured it out. It's always a pride issue. No matter what's going on, if you track it back, and I played this game one day. I played this game where I tried to see if I could find anything that didn't go back to pride, and I couldn't. See if you can find anything that doesn't, problem, that doesn't go back to pride. Everything. It all goes back to pride. It's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah, somebody says, don't be nervous. One single bit, woman of God, you're right on target. I'm going to have to listen multiple times to rehear all I know was being spoken to me. Thank you for the confirmation. This was the information I need to be fully engaged in my new question. You ready for it? How can I inspire people more for their kingdom calling? I am loving that question. That's a good question. Imagine the life you would live if you asked every day, how can I inspire people more for their kingdom calling? I mean, who can I inspire today? How can I inspire someone today? Can you see how much more empowering that is than something like, well, how can I get everybody to like me? What's everybody thinking about me? What about me? Amen? Good job. Another, the Lord has opened the eyes of my heart and there's a lot of hard work ahead, but I'm thankful and grateful to grow in him. Amen. I love it. Vicky says, thanks for giving so much clarity today. I'm excited to spend time with Jesus to clarify what is specific to me. Another, thanking and praising God for this on-time teaching word, admonishment and exhortation. Man, did this speak to me. I asked God this morning, what's wrong with me? Thank you again for your obedience to the Lord. I want to be a Mary and not a Martha. You and me both. Come on now, y'all know I'm just a full-on Martha. I'm choleric. I'm a choleric prophet, baby of the family. So it's all about like getting things done and being the center of attention. Left to myself, no, not going to be good. It's going to be ugly. It's just going to be ugly. Time in his presence. Another, I received the word today on not making any more excuses. That's it. Bye-bye. And I love the way Jesse put it. I need to get an infographic. Make excuses or make results. Come on. I owe you one, girl. Another, I am so excited to finally stop starting over. Back to the starting line. You've run further than the people who finished the Chicago Marathon every year. You've run further than they have. And you haven't even made it to the first refreshment stand to get yourself a nice little reward. Rewarding the wrong behavior, she says. Thank you, Lord. Come on, this is good. You people are better than me. Stop complaining and start proclaiming. Did you make that up? Oh, that's good. Can somebody write that down? That needs to be an infographic, like right now. Stop complaining and start proclaiming. Joanne, let me know if you made that up or if you got that from somebody, because I'm making that an infographic, because that's just going to preach. See what I mean about you guys being smarter than me? See what I mean? Come on now. Y'all could be preaching. Jesse just came up with a better idea than me. Way better. And here's Joanne. See? I'm living proof that it's not that hard to be obedient and just do what he's called you to do. God has brought me through so much this past year. I'm trying to focus on all the good things of God and have an attitude of gratitude in everything. How do you handle people that complain all the time? This is the truth. They end up isolated. People just shut them out and then they end up alone and then they complain about being alone. Yeah, it's really hard. I have friends that do that and I try to redirect them. I don't know what else to do. The thing is, Valerie, it's spiritual. It's spiritual. It's not just a habit, although it is a habit. There's a spiritual dynamic there. And I'm going to teach about it on the 90-day renewal tonight. And I probably shouldn't even say this. All right. Don't tell anybody I said this, but I really have been debating. Do I even want to tell you guys this? But I think I'm going to. I am offering another class that starts tonight with a one-week orientation. But then the actual teaching, day one of the 90-day renewal, will start on the 18th. If your top goal, what scares me is that I don't want you guys to lose focus. Okay, that's my fear. But if your top goal already is to lose weight and get healthy, you'd have 1 week that you'd be juggling two classes. That's what I'm trying to say. I don't want you to lose focus, and I want to let you know that you would start on the 18th, and so that week, the week of the 18th, you'd be juggling finishing up the best year and starting into the renewal. And I don't want you to get overwhelmed. And honestly, I have excluded everybody in this class, hasn't even been informed that this other class is even happening. And I've done that intentionally. I've deliberately, when I send out the mailing list, I click exclude anybody who's in the class. Don't even tell them. Yeah. Because I don't want you to get distracted. But maybe some of you need to do it. And if you're like, my number one goal is to lose weight and get healthy or declutter. And I'm going to have one tough week of juggling two classes, but then it'll be worth it because then I'll have the other, I'll have 90 days with, in this same anointing, in this same atmosphere. And if that's you, you can go to donnapartow.com/yes. And I'll type that. Ask the Lord. Because I felt led to say it, so it's for somebody. But I gave all the disclaimers. Amen? I gave them first. Another eye-opener is that we have results and excuses. Help me, give me strength to... And I like the word make results, and I'm going to use it from now. This one said have results. I said get results. I like Jesse's terms, make results. Not just have results, because that almost sounds passive. Like, oh, I'm going to have results. Or me, get results. Oh, we're going to get them. I'm going to walk through the store and grab one off the shelf. I like the way Jesse put it. And I think that's really powerful shift. And I'm going to make that shift. You got to make them. Just like you make excuses, make them up, you make results. Really good. The message spoke to me. From now on, I am not going to concentrate or even feel what the devil's doing to my brain, but focus on God through decree, praise, and etc. Yeah, I'm making this shift too. We're in this together. She says, I appreciate you so much. You're giving me life through your teachings. And she sent me hugs. I'm guessing that your love language maybe is physical touch. So thank you. I received that physical touch. This spoke volumes to me, especially giving focus to the adversary. I really needed this. I really need, trust me. God made me look like I was walking out of the church service. What do they think? I'm leaving. They're looking at me like, oh, you poor backslidden lost sinner. You need the sinner's prayer, lady. We're only on the third song and you're leaving the building. You poor thing. Yeah. Right? But no, this is what he was dealing with me about. All the stuff I just gave you? Because he gave it to me yesterday. I mean, he sat me down. It was daddy and daughter time. And gave me a little talking to. And God said, you, daughter, you are not a problem. But your way is a problem. You are not a problem. I love you. But your way, the way you're showing up, that's a problem. Just a couple more. I felt the Holy Spirit reach into my chest and hold my heart before my eyes so that I can see with God's eyes what is in my heart. I love it. I've succeeded in turning off phones, TVs, choosing a time by myself to be with the Lord. Yeah. Leanne is asking, yeah, how do you turn off voice, you know, all the thoughts, all the noise in your head? And that's a really good question. And you know, maybe we can press into that more. And, you know, I pray more about that. I'm going to pray for you and for everyone. This is really a common problem. But I'm proud of you. I'm really proud of you because I think it starts by turning out the outer noise. Once you've turned off all the outer noise, you all know I don't even have a TV. I haven't had a TV, really, for the most part, probably since I became a Christian. I don't think I've ever really, like, had a TV as part of my world. I mean, I used to have a little black and white one we kept in the closet, you know, and then the kids had one, but it was only hooked up for DVDs. It wasn't hooked into, like, TV stations, but... Turn off that noise. And once you've turned off all that noise, then you suddenly notice all the internal noise, right? You probably didn't even notice it before. Now you notice it. You know, it's a combination of discipline and practice and also spiritual. You know, just a spirit of peace and impartation of the Holy Spirit. And so, Father, I pray for Leanne. And I love that she's pressing in and she's doing, here's the deal, God. She's doing everything that she can do. And now she's coming to you as your beloved daughter saying, Father, I've done everything that I can do. Would you now send the Spirit to do what I can't do? Would you, Prince of Peace, walk into the room? Would you speak peace, be still to the storm in my head? Would you decree silence to every voice that isn't yours? Accusing voices, doubting voices, frantic voices, demanding voices. Every voice that isn't the loving Father saying, come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. See, you take the yoke on because you're going to get some work done. Hallelujah. Amen. Why do you take the yoke on? Why do you take on the yoke? Because there's a field to plow. Hello? Hello? Are we getting this? We don't talk about that part. Take my yoke upon you. Why are you taking on the yoke? Because you got to plow the field. Right? So let's yoke up to Jesus and get the work done. Soul at rest, body in motion. Mind at peace. Mind at peace. That's what soul at rest is. Mind at peace. Decisions already made. Emotions submitted to his lordship. Yeah. Soul at peace and rest. Then you yoke into the plow with Jesus and get going and plow the field. Get some work done. Hallelujah. Another says he knows your heart. Another, I love the teaching on love languages. Learning the language of my son will help me show him how much I love him. Yeah, it's really powerful. I want very much to speak his language of love. It's really huge. It's really huge. And I shared this before, but my younger daughter's words of affirmation. So for one Christmas, I gave her a blank notebook. And I said, every day I'm going to write something, what I saw you do write, some word of affirmation in this notebook. And after I've written it, I'm going to put it on this chair. And you can pick it up and take it to your room and you can read it and reflect on it. And when you're ready for mommy to, you know, to write more words of affirmation, just put it back on this chair. Do you think she missed a day? And she was, I think, 15. At the time, yeah, she was 14 or 15. Oh, she did not miss a day. Every day she picked up that book, took it to her room. I watched her and read what mommy wrote, words of affirmation, and then she put that right back on that chair so mom would know I'm ready for more. If you have a child or anyone in your life, words of affirmation, go get a blank journal and do that for them. It's the easiest thing. It has to be specific. You know, don't write the same thing every day. So what's something specific you saw them do or something in their character and affirm it? It is such a try. I filled the whole book. It was just such a treasure to her. I should do it again, really. Kari says, I have a question from the last session. How can you measure your goal of being on fire for God? There are some goals that are a project. okay? And you measure whether or not it's done. Others, and I did try to explain this, but let me do it again. Others are activity-based, and you have to track the activity. So being on fire for God is going to happen based on certain activities, and I can track the activities. In other words, it's got to be in His time in His Word. I can track how much time I'm spending in His Word. Time in His presence. I can track how much time I'm spending in His presence. Time in worship. I can track how much time I'm spending in worship. Dealing with my stuff. I can track how much time I'm spending dealing with my stuff. So, sorry if this wasn't clear, but sometimes you can track the, you just have to track your activity, because it's like, when is that ever accomplished? When do you cross that off your list? But each day you can track your activity. Hope that helps. Yeah. You'd have to break that down into specific activities. She shared her goal. You have to break that into specific activities. Yeah, someone's asking about anger. The Bible says, in your anger, do not sin. So there's such a thing as a righteous anger. You know, when you hear that there are more slaves in the world now than at the height of the African slave trade, you know, we should be angry about that. You know, when children are being molested, when Christians are being beheaded, when Christians are being buried alive, when Christians are being put locked into caskets and set on fire, we should be angry. I mean, there's some things we should be angry about. We should be angry about things like that. So there's a righteous anger. There's a place for it. But most of us aren't indulging righteous anger, right? We're just mad at our kids or our coworkers, right? And this is beyond the scope of this class, honestly, but I'm going to cover it tonight because it's not beyond the scope of the 90-day renewal. I'm going to do a full hour teaching on these demonic emotions. A full hour. If not tonight, probably not tonight, but, you know, within a few weeks, because God gave me a full notebook download on this, how exactly this works, because it's a vicious cycle. You get tempted to an emotion, you indulge that emotion, it empowers that, you experience more of it, empowers, and it's just this vicious cycle, and it starts as a little seed, planet, like how could He treat you like that, and little temptation to anger, and you take it, and it just becomes bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. That was the Holy Spirit, no doubt. I fell into a self-pity pit. How could that happen? I know God is testing me. This is an amazing teaching. I've given the devil too much glory, but never again. To God be the glory. All glory, honor, and praise. That's good. Oh, I agree. Meredith said, I love hearing the different voices and accents of the ladies. I agree. Denise says, I am encouraged to keep moving forward. Amen. Aleda, this was so good. So much confirmation. God bless you. Learning to just say no to self-sabotage and making excuses. Oh, I love you, Joanne. Joanne said she made a graphic. Okay. Yeah, somebody put the acronym for busy as being under Satan's yoke. Yeah. I think we'll go ahead and wrap. Kari said that helped a lot. Good, I'm glad. Another person asking about noise in the head. I think I already answered that one. Just two more comments and then we're going to wrap. Somebody says, I feel I have clarification. This is a praise report. My number one goal has to do with trading. This morning when the session started, was able to trade and there was only one option available for me. I took it, did it three times, three wins. To God be the glory. And somebody says, thank you again for a perfect day. Okay, great. Love you guys. See you on the Facebook group.